Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to tell everyone that I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels and people and pets who've passed on, please call me at 509-750-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. You can also email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell everyone my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held. It's my fifth annual conference, will be held in Olympia, Washington in the United States from April 12th to the 16th. And there's a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early by November 1st. For details, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, I've mentioned this before, from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos in the Hollow Earth. We have people coming in from Germany, Ireland, England, across Canada, across the United States, and Mexico for the trip so far. And I hope you can join. It's going to be it's a small international group, but I'm so looking forward to meeting everyone. The last time I was there, the first week in July, we actually saw Sasquatch. We met with the people of Telos, which I had an interesting conversation. We all did talk to them. And also, too, we saw lots and lots of UFOs flying around at night. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and Telos in the Hollow Earth for the last 2 years, and it's just a fascinating, it's truly an experience that can change your life. If you're interested, please send me an email. There are some spots available to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me on my cell at 509-750-9793. Finally, tomorrow on Sunday and Saturday and Sunday, I'll be at an Ocean Shores health and wellness fair and a psychic fair in Ocean Shores. I couldn't find the address before coming on the air, but Ocean Shores is a very small town. Once you pull into Ocean Shores, you take the main road and it's on the left. You can't miss it. One of the things I'll be doing is giving a presentation at 3 p.m. on Sunday about my friend Tom Palladino's wonderful scalar energy healing methods. And with that, Tom is still patiently waiting on the air. Tom, welcome. Thank you so much for waiting for me today.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Ted. I love being on Out of This World. Thank you.
Well, I'm so glad you're here, Tom. You must get a lot of satisfaction doing your work, especially when you see people getting really helped by your program. Could you tell us a couple of success stories?
Sure. I have a success story that's topical, that took place today, frankly. I received from a gentleman a test result for the HIV infection. Again, I'm working with scalar energy. Scalar energy is not electricity. It's a different type of energy. And scalar energy can break down a germ, can break down a virus. Well, I just received a test result today, and the test result shows negative, no viral load for HIV. And I've mentioned this before, and hopefully the world will start to appreciate and crystallize this thought. Scalar energy can destroy the HIV virus. Wow. We have discovered the easy way to eradicate the HIV virus. We are curing people of HIV viral disease. Now, I have diagnostic tests that are proving that. This is not hyperbole. So we believe that this is a new medical paradigm. That is, scalar energy will introduce to the world a much safer, easier way to eradicate germs from the human body. And a process that can be guaranteed. So if this resonates with you, join us. Join Ted. Join me as we introduce this new medical paradigm to mankind.
You know, I know that there are probably people who are out there who are maybe skeptical about what you say. But I want to tell everyone listening today around the world that Tom is the real deal. And he's not making any of this up, and he's got the scientific reports to prove what he says. So if you are interested, and it's a free program, so you really can't lose by trying, send him an email or try to get a hold of him. Tell me, how do you, Tom, how do people reach you, or is there a website they go to?
Let's offer this, Ted. In order to introduce this subtle concept. We offer free treatment. So take this website down. Anybody who'd like to submit a photograph and be treated free of charge, we offer a 15-day trial. The website is freescalar.net. Scalar is spelled S-C-A-L-A-R. Again, the website, www.freescalar.net. Visit that website. You can upload as many as 25 photographs of your family members. We'll treat your entire family for free. The point that Ted and I are trying to drive home is that there is a new way of addressing disease, specifically pathogenic disease. And we go on record by saying that this is a free treatment and it will indeed improve your health. Freescalar.net is the website. Share that with family and friends. Our treatments are free. This is how we're going to introduce this to the world and galvanize support by way of this grassroots movement.
You know, a lot of people operate on only doing things for money. And you're not one of those, are you, Tom?
No.
You do it to help people. And I really admire and appreciate you for doing that. I really do.
I think, to add to that, I think real healers want to heal. And that's what I consider myself. I consider myself a healer. Mm-hmm. And you don't worry about money. You don't worry about fame and reputation. That's not important. If you're a healer, you concentrate on healing. That's the overarching consideration. That's what we're doing.
Right. Well, Tom, I'm sorry I have to go back to my show now, but I'm so happy you could come on and talk about your work. You do incredible work for people. You do a lot of free stuff, free work for people to help them, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for all your wonderful work.
Ted, enjoy your weekend. Thank you for your effort.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom, for coming on today. I really appreciate it. That was Tom Palladino from Florida. He has a wonderful free healing program, and I urge you just to check out his website. And if you like, send him one of your pictures and see what happens. You can't lose for trying. I wanted to tell you again that I'll be at Ocean Shores, Washington, tomorrow and on Sunday. It's been so hot here in the Seattle area, and I'm looking forward to getting some cooler ocean breezes. Also, when I'm there, I'll be doing psychic readings in addition to distributing information about Tom's healing program and giving a presentation on his healing program at 3:00 on Sunday. And my good friends, Carolyn and Jerry White, will be there as well. They do incredibly interesting work. They have cameras that take a picture of your aura. And then Carolyn and Jerry will interpret it for you, and they can do amazingly accurate readings for you when they look at the results from their incredible photography. But if you have time, please come out to Ocean Shores. It's a wonderful place on the cool ocean beaches this weekend. If you get lost or need directions, just give me a call on my cell, and I'll give it to walk you through there as best as I can. My cell number is 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd love to get back now to the rest of the interview with David Adair, and then I'll be coming in at the end of the hour. So by age 12, you're building a tremendous rocket that goes up tens of thousands of feet into the atmosphere. Now you're, my goodness, and now you've back engineered an alien power plant now. And if you wouldn't mind, tell us about what happened between age 12 and where you are today.
Oh, my God. It took Art Bell 7 hours to find out that answer.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
There's just not enough time to tell, but...
I guess what areas would you like to focus in on?
Well, I just was so into rocketry and stuff, and now that I know the overall scheme of things, it didn't make sense why I was so focused on building rockets, because the rocket, the way it functioned, turned out to be the perfect medium for me to use to find if I could get field stability accomplished and hold it for the electromagnetic fusion containment part. And even Hawkins asked me, he said, that's another long story, but he asked me, how did you validate containment? I said, rocket engine. And then his second question, I knew how smart he was. He said, well, how'd you get field stability? I can't. You know, I get 4 seconds. and Hawkins, 4 seconds? That don't sound like much. That, you know, 4 seconds don't sound like much. In the world I'm working in, NASA has spent $14 billion, and they're at 0.00078 of 1 second.
Oh, my goodness.
Four seconds is an eternity.
Yeah, wow.
And it was enough to do a test. That's all I was looking for is a test. And some people bring up criticisms. I'll say, you know, I launched it and we took off fine. There's so much detail. They said, that's incredible. It worked the very first time. No, I skipped over the part of about 1,000 failures and mishaps. And from those failures, I was learning each time. No, I didn't just work the very first time. Are you kidding? And I didn't do this by myself. The rest of the people that came in to evolve, when General LeMay showed up, and then his XO, Colonel Arthur Bailey Williams, and when they showed up, it was carte blanche on everything, and I wasn't by myself. Mm-hmm. I was an army of people he brought, mm-hmm. LeMay did. And all these laboratories and agencies, Los Alamos, also Oak Ridge, Tennessee, Battelle Memorial, Lawrence Livermore, just all these big agencies were involved. But LeMay was really smart. He had me build everything in modules. And so we send the work out. And they'll be working on a part and go, this is some kind of pump. And, you know, it's incredible, the design, the power of the pump. I don't know what the pump's for. Is it, you know, in a car? Is it in a jet, a rocket engine? What is it? So they saw bits and pieces, the whole structure did. But the problem is nobody, or wasn't a problem for us, it was a good deal. No one could figure out what was going on with the finished product. And that's because LeMay had everything set up that way. And that's how we come. That's, you know, people think, oh, I remember a guy, mm-hmm. this guy, Stanton Freeman, he does investigations by proclamations. He proclaims something, he's investigated. I've never met him. He knows nothing about me. And he would make statements that was just so outrageous and not true. And mm-hmm. on my video, you can see I just flat busted him twice. He just lied. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with his criticism until he said something negative about my mother, and then I went after him.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, he crossed the line on that one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's how all these people involved, army of people, money, materials, all this stuff. And the final assembly was done at my lab in Ohio at the time. But keep in mind, I'm not even 17 yet, which is a big deal. Why is that? In the Constitution, the Founding Fathers wrote, you cannot put a minor to a national security oath. I'm 17. And that's why I could tell everybody what happened at Area 51. Mm-hmm. When I turned 18, the military kidnapped me. And they did put me on a oath at that moment, and that I can't tell you about. But they were smart. And Strong Thurmond once said to me, I was the worst loose cannon on the deck. Mm-hmm. And he said, you're a sword that cuts both ways. I took that as a compliment. But anyway, that's how, you know, I could talk about it. All of this was done before I was 18.
Wow.
So, but it also, first kidnapping cost me a day. The second kidnapping cost me 11 years. I stayed with the United States Navy for 11 years. Huh. And they found out I had talents, and it actually worked out as a symbiotic relationship. So we did pretty well. I did, and they did.
Did the Navy appoint you as librarian of one of their libraries so you could read books?
Yeah, one of the admirals said that. And he said, instead of being a librarian, David, how about you just own the thing? You just, the entire Library of Congress is available. And so I pretty much exhausted that thing. And there's just so much more stuff to be done. The only thing I've learned from all the stuff I've learned is how stupid I am. I know nothing. The more I learn, the more I realize how much I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I'm just a Forrest Gump. Stupid is and stupid does. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it worked out well, though, in the Navy because I'd be standing there and stuff would just happen around me. And the best example of that is the Pennsylvania Avenue story. I was transferred to D.C. and I had to report in, and this is an O&I division, Office of Naval Intelligence. I'm in a white uniform, and I'm walking down Pennsylvania Avenue looking at the White House. Hear people yelling, look out, and I turn around, and a white rhinoceros runs me over.
A white rhinoceros? Where did the rhinoceros come from? Yeah. I didn't know they lived in D.C.
Well, that's the thing. When I walked into the office, my white uniform, I was mopped on the street with a white rhinoceros, knocked me down, ran over me, pushed me around, and then went around the corner and disappeared. So I come in and I tell the Admiral, yeah, I'm just a mess. And he goes, hey, what happened to you? And I said, I got ran over by a white rhinoceros in front of the White House. And he's just looking at me like, oh, God, somebody sent a loon over here. And he thought I was lost my mind. So the Admiral's telling this story to Strong Thurmond, who was talking to me and turned around to the Admiral and asked, did somebody drop him on his head? Is he doing drugs? What is wrong with him? And so the Admiral tells this story. He said, let me tell you a story about a rhinoceros. He said, I went home that night. I'm pouring myself a drink. The news comes on. And a woman says, a very odd thing happened today. The Washington Zoo was transporting a very rare white rhinoceros who got loose, ran down Pennsylvania Avenue, knocked over a pedestrian, and ran around a corner and was recaptured. And the Admiral said, I dropped my drink, I dropped my bottle, and realized that's David Adair. And so he told Thurmond, you know, Senator, if he would come in and run and say, Godzilla's coming down the street and stomping buildings, I'm not going to go look. I'm going to run to the basement as fast as I can. And so he said, the man's just a lightning rod for the weird and unexplained. And it's 11 years we've had him. There's not a normal day with him. He thinks it's normal. The rest of us going, this is just insane. And so Senator Thurmond finally got the picture and looked at the other reports I've wrote, and he goes, man, you really are kind of like a lightning rod. I said, yeah, I don't know why it is, but it's been like that my whole life.
Wow, that's amazing, David. David, I have to ask you, anything, and I know there's kind of a war going on right now, between good and bad,
yeah,
light and dark. Would you like to maybe talk about that a little bit?
You know,
if you like.
Yeah, I'm going to leave certain names out of it.
Sure.
But I've been, in 97, Art Bell had a lot of fun with me, but boy, did he cause a roar. And I suddenly found myself on stage in front of millions of people. And I hung with it for about a year and a half. But it was time for me to go back to work, because that's not work. That was fun. And I didn't sell books and tapes, because that's what I do for a living. So I went back to corporate America and the labs and all that stuff and went back to work. And I've been gone from the metaphysical community for about 30 years, and I came back just recently here. And I found there's a lot of things changed, a lot. And there seems to be some real serious issues in the community. And it looks like you got like a civil war going on. And
within the metaphysical community?
Yeah. Well, the UFO community is plagued with it bad. Metaphysical, conspiracy, all of these fringe groups. And there seems to be a group that wants to control and dominate everything and put it out the way they want it. and they challenge anything that gets in their way. And that's completely different from what I remember 30-some years ago. And also another strange thing, when I first told my story, I heard two words over and over until I was just sick of it, was prove it, prove it, prove it. Well, that's why I made this video, to prove things. But people can get up and say things now which are way crazier than anything I've ever said, and nobody asks for a single bit of evidence or prove it. And that's not good. That's manipulating in a wrong way. So I don't know what's going on with it and which way it's going. But it looks like when you boil everything down, it's just a simple conflict of light and dark, or good versus evil. And it's serious, and people are having some serious issues with it. And I've seen some of it firsthand. I haven't been pulled into it, but I'm sure if I keep going, somebody's going to say something, because I draw a lot of people. And the dark side, they're very interested in one thing, money. Wherever there's the most people, that's where the revenue is. Follow the money. And this evil side is doing just that. So if I get more and more popular, it don't matter to me if I do or not, but if I do, I'm sure I'm going to draw the focus of the dark side, which don't bother me. I've been dealing with that my whole life.
Wow. David, I want to ask you about a subject that I've been interested in a long time, and that's time travel. What do you know? Is it possible? Do you know of people who've done it?
No, I don't know. Well, I knew Al Balik, and I knew him personally, and his story was interesting. But it left his life in ruins. He was dirt poor when he died, and just bad. As far as the feasibility of it, I don't know. I haven't really worked in that area. But I see such enormous difficulties trying to get to that point. It's right there with anti-gravity. Anti-gravity defies the matrix of logic. You slide a lead shield between you and x-rays and you can stop it. Okay, following that matrix of thought, why can't I slide a shield or something between me and the earth and stop gravity? You can't. It defies it. So that's rudimental problems that you've got there. And same thing with time travel. But one thing, you know, people said, I'm so frightened about time travel, that everything would wake up one day and everything change. No, if you understand anything about time, motion, continuums, and the laws that's involved, if somebody screws up with time travel, it's real personal. It's just you. Your place in the universe is dispersed or displaced, and you come back to a different reality, you and I wouldn't know anything. So it wouldn't bother us. So go out there and try it all you want and screw up and get yourself shot into an alternate universe. You know, good luck with that. But it won't bother us.
I mean, if it was possible to time travel, you could theoretically go back to the time when your parents met. Yeah. And maybe you interfered with it in some way, so your parents wouldn't have had you. And then you go back to your normal time, and you don't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, see, it's personal.
Yeah.
It's all personal. So don't be afraid of time travel and somebody will screw up your time reality. No, it's personal. It only screws them up. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Kind of a safety mechanism, but not like a nuclear event where if it goes wrong, a lot of people get affected.
Yeah, that's true.
Bad.
That's true. David, I have to ask you another question on extraterrestrial races out there. I've been told that there's many, many races out there beyond this planet. What do you know of the different kinds of ETs?
Well, you know, I've never met one. I've never even seen a UFO. People go, what are you talking about? You know, well, I've seen an alien power plant, okay, in the basement of a top-secret place that's not supposed to exist. That's it. That's my, you know, and people would say, well, why aren't you after that? Why aren't you investigating it? You know, how can you do that? Oh, yeah, I want to live a life like Fox Mulder, where I'm frustrated every single day of my life.
And threatened.
Yeah. Hell with that. I'm going to go live my life. I had this event. I experienced it. I remember it. I'm aware of it.
Right.
But I got other things to do.
Sure. Right.
And no, I'm not going to get caught in that trap, that loop. And but I can just, you know, speculate. I think Mr. Spock had it right. Well, infinite diversity and infinite combinations in the universe. It really is. There are probably millions of races out there. We're out on the very edge of the Milky Way galaxy on one of the arms, and we're probably in the backwaters. If we were in the center of the galaxy, we'd have already probably been spacefaring. But I don't know. I can speculate. Like, for instance, if a creature came from a very, very large planet with a heavy gravity field, like a rhinoceros, that thing big and solid. But if you came from a very small planet with a light gravity field, you could be a giraffe. What in God's name has a 20-foot neck?
Right.
You know, that don't make sense, unless the animal came from a very light gravity. Do you know what the number one killer of a giraffe is?
No.
Sex. When they have sex, the shoulder blades cleave the heart of the male. It kills them. So the way they breed them in the zoo, they put a sling on a crane, and they're able to help the giraffe do that. See, Mother Nature wouldn't design something like that.
Well, thanks. I've always wondered about that.
Yeah, well, read up on it. And but I'm sitting there going, well, that animal's not from here.
Uh-huh.
And Mother Nature wouldn't design an animal where it wants to procreate and it kills it.
I met a scientist several years ago, David, that there's a tree called the Madrona tree around the Northwest here.
Mm-hmm.
Its bark is very interesting because it peels off like thin sheets of paper.
I've seen that.
And he told me at a party several years ago that tree actually follows the life cycle of the planet Mars, not Earth. And he thought it was here.
Could be. That's so much stuff. And the diversity on this planet is just nuts. We're finding millions of species new every year, you know, and that's nuts. The rest of the planets throughout the entire solar system is dead of life forms like this, and this thing's that packed. I think this planet is probably an experimental station, and I always told people, I always felt like I was a lab experiment that went bad and I got loose, and, you know, that's... Besides, that came from a Tupperware planet, something that could handle all the mess we do.
Well, you know what Alex Jones calls planet Earth? What? He calls it the prison planet.
I can see why. Boy, the things that get assigned here must have done some pretty bad stuff. That's always the feeling I've had. The metaphysical people, you know, say, oh, you asked to come here because you wanted to experience this. And are you nuts? I wouldn't have ever wanted to come here. What it is, I think I lost a bet, and I had to come here to pay the bet off.
Yeah.
Because I did want to come here on my own. God, no.
Yeah. Well, David, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here. I think I can help some things, but I don't know where I'm from, but I do know it's not here.
Right. You're not from around these parts.
No, I'm not. I just want to go home. But unfortunately, I don't know where home is. Somewhere out there.
David, you just mentioned what Art Bell used to say about you. Could you repeat that, please?
Sure. Art, I spent a lot of time with Art years ago in the 90s. And he told me one time, he said, I don't say this very often, but, man, you're the real deal. And I went, real what? You know, Jeffrey Dahmer? And he goes, no. He goes, you're a builder. You build things that we all talk about. You're a doer. And I can tell that the stuff you're telling me, it's not, you're not making up. It's recall. It's stuff you've already done. And he said, that makes you so different. And a lot of fun to talk to because you've done all this stuff and you're not through. And I talked to Art a month before he died, and and he told me, man, you're still at it out there. He goes, it's amazing. He goes, he knew something was going wrong with him because he said he wished he could stick around and see how my story ends.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I don't know, Art. Maybe I'll see you in another dimension somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah, absolutely, David. Well, you're an incredibly interesting guy, David. And what else would you like to talk about today?
Well, I could go for hours, but I do have another talk coming up here shortly. Well, there's something that's going on that y'all might want to know. My longtime friend, Danion Brinkley.
Oh, yeah. Good man.
Yeah, he's so fun. We're working on a thing where we're going to be doing a program together.
Oh, nice.
And I told Danion, I said, you know, you get an audience trapped between us, Danion, we'll probably kill people from laughing. And he said, yeah, that's the idea. That's the plan. Because he said, there's so much gloom and doom out there. He said, you and I could do a program where people have a hard time getting to the bathroom in time. I said, yeah, that's a good idea, Danion. Let's do that. So we'll be working on it this year.
Uh-huh.
But it will be a fun program. And giving an idea how it could work, I gave a talk in Las Vegas at a Whole Life Expo. And I had the audience laughing so hard. There was a pair of PhD professors in the front row, and I jumped down and I pointed out and said, look, it's a paradox. And the place exploded. The two women that were sitting next to them started laughing so hard, they ran out of air, and they're trying to breathe. And I've been down to their faces, they're holding themselves. I said, you've done run out of air, haven't you? She goes, yeah. You're going to die, aren't you? And they're nodding yes. I said, well, go ahead. I got Danion Brinkley here. I'll be back in time for dinner. And so you know, we're going to do a program like that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it will be a good program.
Yeah, but that's good.
I like making people laugh because, man, you just got to lighten up. You can't take this place seriously. It isn't permanent.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So,
David, back to the ET question. Do you ever see any ships flying around up there in the heavens and you wonder where they're from?
No, like I said, I've never seen a UFO, never seen an alien, but I've seen a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And watching the videos, I've got a pretty good idea how they do some of their stuff. I think the main drive on a lot of their crafts is electromagnetic fusion containment, okay, simply because of the nature of the gravity fields and the things they can do. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder, how could a life form come into this planet at 5,000 miles an hour and do a 90-degree turn?
Yeah.
It would kill anything organic. It would turn it into a liquid. And yet they go on and don't seem to have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That would be phase two, between phase two and three of my design, mm-hmm, is that you'd build these force fields that's holding the fury of your sun inside your engines. Mm-hmm. You put a secondary set of fields outside the spacecraft, and another field inside the cockpit area. Mm-hmm. And what I found working with these fields was a set of subroutine algorithms that just were naturally occurring. And what I found out to be was it's an inertia dampener.
Oh.
And people go, what's an inertia dampener? I said, Bugs Bunny did the best explanation of it I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Old Bugs, leave it to him to figure it out. That's a smart rabbit. Mm-hmm. They were in a plane, him and his friends, that ran out of fuel and it's flying back to Earth. And it's going so fast the speedometer dials run off the gauge. The wings rip off, they're just a dart, they're all screaming, we're gonna die. And right before it hits the ground, Bugs Bunny opens the door and takes his friends and step out, and the plane hits the ground, blows all pieces. And everybody laughs, that's Bugs Bunny. No. That's real. That's an inertia dampener. That's exactly how it works.
Interesting.
What an inertia dampener can do is, well, you can build a sphere, and it will free you from the Newtonian forces of this planet. You will not feel momentum, and you will not feel kinetic energy when you slam into something and stop, which kills you. You could come in at 5,000 miles an hour, do a 9-degree turn, and not feel a thing.
I've wondered how ET craft can do that.
Yeah, it's the secondary effect of their inertia dampener coming off the containment fields. They'll put it in the cockpit and then outside the craft, and they could do incredible maneuvers like that because they feel nothing.
Wow.
And There's a lot you could do with that. Imagine putting a device like that on a car.
Wow.
You could hit a bridge and car disintegrates and you step out without a scratch.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, especially if you're a speeder. But just, you know, a commercial airliner crashing. Everybody gets up and walks out and don't feel a thing.
Wow. Do you think things like that will be incorporated into our own vehicles in the future?
Yeah, if the technology is available, like everything we do, we transfer it to different applications, and yeah, you could have all this stuff. But the program I talk about that is called, it's titled, What in the Hell Happened to George Jetson? We're supposed to see him by now, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of it ever materialized. Mm. That's thanks to your one percenters.
Uh-huh.
They're hoarding it all.
I see.
And the mindless greed that runs on this planet is the thing, that's the single thing that will kill us all. It has no sense at all. It's mindless. It just wants to own everything. I want everything.
In a way, it's service to self rather than service to others.
Exactly. It's into self-preservation and total annihilation of everything else.
Yeah.
And that's, if we don't end this mindless greed as a race, and we're supposed to be evolving, what's mindless greed done in the last two decades? Went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the one percenters. We didn't have one percenters in the 50s, or 60s, or 70s. So that's what's going to kill us all if we don't stop it.
I see. Yeah. I agree with you totally.
Yeah. So
it used to be here in the United States anyway that only one person needed to work in the family. Now both spouses need
to
work.
The one percenters have it that way. They want everybody,
yeah,
right down to children, everybody working,
mm-hmm,
so they can lay back and hoard it all and live their carefree life. But it's gonna kill us as a race. If some of the other things don't get us, like artificial intelligence, asteroid, Independence Day, mm-hmm, you know, just go down the list. There's so much stuff, pandemics.
GMO foods.
Yeah. I could go all day and have you so depressed you'll kill yourself by tonight. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
There must be something. I would like to think there's something looking out for us, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your idea of a deity is, God, whatever. People ask me about what do I see as God, and I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. I'm more like a Jewish person. I don't believe Jesus was real simply because I didn't meet him. So you have to have faith. Well, I don't. But I do. I approach religion or God the same way I do corporate America. I don't waste time talking to CEOs or presidents. I go straight to the chairman of the board. So I'll skip the CEO of Jesus and go straight to the chairman of the board. Now, the way I see God, if I was up in heaven and he was around, first thing he'd do when he walked by is grab the hem of his robe and trip him, and then jump on his head and start wailing on him. The Jewish people said, we have a belief that, forgot what the word was, it's he who fights God, but it's not fight, it's wrestle. He who wrestles with God. And I used to wrestle with my dad all the time. So he would know when somebody trips him, he'd know, oh, that David Adair must be up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I don't see him as something so big and scary on a throne. Although, like electricity, I have a lot of respect for it,
mm-hmm,
but I'm not scared of it. Mm-hmm. God has tremendous powers, but I'll still trip his butt and jump on his head any time I get a chance.
Uh-huh.
And because he made me this way.
Right. Wow.
But people... religion is something you fear, but spirituality is something you like and embrace. I think the only religion on this planet right now that got anywhere near right was the Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, treat your planet well, don't trash it.
Right.
So their version of Great Spirit and the way they look at everything, I think they had a better handle on getting closer to what it really is. But I know this, no religion on this planet has it right.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell me, oh, you know, just one word can change everything. you know, according to Judeo-Christian, I am the way. And then they put in this one word, I am the only way.
Right.
You've just started a civil war among right. yourselves.
Right. Yeah.
And any religion that would make anything that separated is a religion I wouldn't want to deal with because it doesn't, the God of love and mercy and charity would not say something like that. The matrix doesn't flow right.
Sure, right.
So, oh boy, that upset a lot of people. But, you know, think, use your head.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your God created you, he gave you that 3 pounds of gray matter in your skull to use and take up the slack where he might be busy with other few billion things.
Sure.
And think for your own. But, people just don't want to do that. They want everything done for them. And that's not what we were designed for.
Right.
But what we were designed to be as creatures, you're designed to be an explorer. Mm-hmm. That's what you're really supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be tied to the acquisition of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That dominates the entire life down here.
That's true.
Completely.
Yeah.
And then it's distorted to can't get enough.
Yeah.
Mindless greed takes over.
Right.
That's not what you were made for.
Right.
In Star Trek, when they created the replicator and the transporter, it freed them from the acquisition of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became explorers. What people really like about Star Trek, yeah, the transporter and the warp drives and the phasers, that's all cool equipment. But it's the way the people evolved too
right.
that everybody likes about
right.
it.
Right.
You know, no more war, no more greed. See, greed is gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way we should be.
There was a Twilight Zone episode back in the late 50s, early 60s. David, you might remember it. I love watching old Twilight Zone episodes. And these bank robbers went into this, they froze their bodies.
Yeah, in a cave, yeah.
In a cave, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, and they had, I think they had, what, like $2-3 million each. And they had to make a phone call.
Of gold.
Yeah, of gold, and yeah. they needed to make a phone call when they found a phone call, and it was like $2 million for a phone call.
Yeah, yeah.
Values was, just...
And then what happened is that they were hitchhiking to the next town. One was left, and they gave the guy a gold coin, and the guy said, oh, we replicate this all the time. Gold now is worthless.
Worthless, yeah.
Yeah, it's worthless, yeah.
that says it all right there, folks.
Funny.
Gold, though... as a material, forget about the, you know, the dollar intrinsic value, but gold is very practical in building things for space. If you ever notice the visors of the astronauts, they're gold.
Really?
It's real gold, 24 karat gold on their visors.
Wow.
Because it will block a great deal of the radiations out there.
Nice.
And can still see through it.
Nice.
So it's very cool material to use. But people don't think of it as a tool to work with.
Right. Right.
Think it's the end of everything. I got this to trade with.
Yeah.
No, man. Melt it and apply it to stuff. It works really well. Right. Protects electronics really good in space.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, David, I thank you so much for coming on my show today. You're an interesting fellow, and you have all kinds of interesting things to talk about. What would you like to... I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview today.
All I can say is life is short. Don't get caught up in the acquisition of wealth. And whatever happens down here, once you're dead, it's not going to matter. So the only thing we actually really have that's ours to work with is each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds so cliche, but the older I get, the more it bears to be real. And so your family and caring for each other, that's the most important thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Think about that next time you get in an argument with your wife.
Mm-hmm. Or your cat or dog.
Or cat or kids.
Yeah, your kids. Yeah.
You know, just those are the only real value things in life.
Sure.
The rest of it is just stuff.
Yeah.
And we die, can't take it with you. I believe I once remember Ghost with Patrick Swayze. He said, the only thing you can take with you off this planet is your love. That's it. Everything else is left behind.
Yep.
So think about that. If you're a loveless person, you're going to leave here with nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if you're a billionaire.
That's true. That's true.
So, and that wasn't made up by a poor person because they didn't have anything else to say. No, it's logically correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think Mr. Spock had it right. You know, life is like a garden. Mm. You know, you take out what you put in. Mm-hmm. So I agree. And I just wish that for all of you. I wish everybody could have had the life that I had. Mm. Because you would be so lucky. I've had met true loves in my life, and they died, but I met them. Mm-hmm. Most people don't ever get to meet that. So I wish y'all could experience that. Wish I could just pull it out and give it to you. Because life has been fun. It's crazy down here, but it's been fun. Mm-hmm. And but I'll be glad to get back home. but think of yourself as a vacationer. You're just passing through. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get into the politics and interact with it all. You're just visiting. Just right. Observe it and move on with your life.
Right.
To the next time and place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's how I do it.
That's amazing. Well, David, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today. You're a great guy, and I really love talking to you.
Yeah, I think Shaq needs to move over from Shaq Wisdom. But anyway, when I finished my autobiography, I told you, mm-hmm. entitled Magical Me, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't take myself that seriously.
I have to ask you this. Whatever happened to Mrs. Hunt? Did you guys become friends and then kept track of each other over the years?
Till the day she died.
Oh, nice.
And but little did she know what kind of monster she left loose on the planet. Because when I got hold of the rest of the books that was available, that really helped a lot. Wow. And the advice she gave me, I had a happy childhood because, do you know, think of this. As weird as I am as a kid, you know how many fights I was in? Zero. Oh. Not one bully ever picked on me. Huh. I was in Midwest Ohio growing up from 6th grade to 12, and I never had a single fight, never had a single argument, and the kids just accepted me for being as weird as I was.
That's nice.
And that will never happen again. Mm-hmm. So I've had a really blessed life, and kids today, God, the stuff they go through.
Yeah.
And the bullying in cyberspace, I didn't have that. Yeah. But they could have, really, in Midwest Ohio, they could have crucified me. I was so weird to the rest of them. And all they said was, on my tape, we've hunted them down. They're parents now. Mm-hmm. And they would tell, on the video, they tell you what I was like as a kid to be with. And every single person that we put on tape, they said, what's the one thing you remember most about him? Funny. He was always funny.
Wow.
And that's why they liked me so much, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get caught up in this world. It's, like I said, it isn't permanent, and there's so much more you can do. You're not supposed to live a life of acquisition of wealth, and that's it. Then you die.
Right.
No, you're an explorer. Learn to explore.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, David. And if you're going to give one bit of advice to young people listening today to today's broadcast, what would you give them?
Don't bully each other. Don't try to dominate things. Stop worrying about what other people think. You know what you've done. It's between you and your deity. You know what you did or didn't do. Don't care about what other people say or do. If I stopped when I got criticized, I never would have existed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can just stand still and breathe air, and it upsets people.
Wow.
And I was like, so? That's your problem, not mine.
Yeah.
And just have a good time. Be nice to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do that when you're being bullied to death.
Yeah.
But think about the bullies and just learn to live your life on, you were born with something. Every one of you got this. I've got it. You got it. It's called a thing called a moral compass. Mm-hmm. And it works. It always works. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to tell you when you do something wrong. You already know.
Sure.
If you're just a little infant, you steal somebody's toy.
Right.
You know it's wrong.
Wow.
Your moral compass works. Learn to listen to your moral compass and follow it. And you know what? You'll have a much happier life. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. Just believe in your moral compass.
Thank you, David, so much for sharing that with me today, and I hope you have a wonderful and happy time here.
So far, it's been that way for sure. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Okay. Thanks so much, David.
That was David Adair. What a really nice man. I'm so happy he could come on my show today. And I wanted to tell everyone he'll be coming on my television show in about 2 weeks, and I'll let you know when that's broadcast. Tomorrow on Saturday and on Sunday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, I'll be doing Prayers for World Peace at Ocean Shores on the beautiful Pacific. I actually did this 3 years ago in August of 2015 in honor of Dr. Emoto. And I have to tell you this story, friends. It was a gray, cloudy day when I did my prayers. And as soon as I did my water prayers, the sky opened up and a beautiful heart appeared in the sky. I hope I can replicate this again. If you'd like to join me, please come to Ocean Shores tomorrow at 6 or Sunday at 6, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. But no matter where you are in the world, at 6 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday and or 6 p.m. Pacific time on Sunday, please say this water prayer for world peace. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you. And water, we thank you. If you could say that 3 times, that would be so beautiful. I hope you have a really beautiful and happy weekend. Next Friday on next week's show, I'll have Simon Parks on. He's always interesting, live coming from England during the first hour. And the second hour from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll have a gentleman named Brian Tingman, who left the corporate world to pursue a spiritual path. And he talks to the Ascended Masters at Mount Shasta, and he'll be talking about he's coming about Mount Shasta and what a beautiful spiritual place it is. With that, I'd like to have Nathan. Thank you so much today, Nathan, for all your help today in producing this radio show. I'd like to play this beautiful water song, Japanese water song, in honor of Dr. Masaru Emoto. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. I hope you have a beautiful and happy weekend. Thank you again. Bye-bye.